You are listening to a podcast by Spring Hill Church in Charlotte, North Carolina. Spring Hill Church is called to reach everyday people with God's grace, His unconditional love, and the life-changing power of His Word. Thanks for listening, and if you would like more information, you can visit us online at springhill.cc.
Well, I want you to know how much I appreciate you being with us today on this Easter Resurrection Sunday. We're going to have a great time in the Word. Now, we're interrupting our series on prayer, Keys to Powerful Prayer. We'll wrap that up next week, and I want to give you next week some very practical steps on how you can establish your prayer life, your personal prayer life with the Lord. And so you don't want to miss next week. But this week, we are going to be talking about the power of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ and how the resurrection changed everything. I'm going to ask you three questions today, and maybe these questions will or will not apply to you, but if they do, and by the way, this isn't a totality, but listen, these three questions, if they do apply to you, I want you to know that the resurrection of Jesus Christ changed everything for you and for me. And so let's get right into this. Number one, the first question I want to ask you today is, have you ever felt trapped or in bondage with no way of escape? You know, there was someone in the Bible, in the Gospels, that was in that condition. And so, you know, her name was Mary Magdalene. And you've probably heard Mary's story if you've been around church at all. But what we do know is the scriptures tell us that Jesus himself cast seven demons out of Mary when he encountered her for the first time. Let's look at Luke, the 8th chapter, in the second verse, Luke chapter 8 and verse 2. And it says this, and a certain woman, or in certain woman who had been healed of evil spirits and infirmities, Mary called Magdalene, out of whom had come seven demons. And the scripture goes on to say that these women began to follow Jesus' ministry and help to take care and to serve Jesus' ministry as he went about the region and was ministering to people. But look at the note that was made about Mary. It says, Mary, out of whom had come seven demon spirits. Now, she heard Jesus preach after she had been delivered. Now, can you imagine what her life was like before that day she encountered the Lord? Man, I guarantee you, she felt trapped and in bondage with no way of escape. You know, she was probably tormented by those spirits. We don't know exactly, you know, what they did or how they abused her, but I guarantee you that they did. And I guarantee you that her life was miserable prior to her encounter with the Lord Jesus Christ. And so after she was set free by the Lord, she and those group of women began to travel with him. So she began to hear him teach, hear him preach everywhere that he went. And so fast forward 2.5 years or so to the crucifixion. She's there witnessing. The scripture points out and bears witness to the fact that she was standing there at the cross when she saw him scourged. She saw him nailed to the cross. She watches him die and then helps take his body off the cross and prepares his body for burial. Now, can you imagine that? She runs out of time because of the Sabbath, and so she has to return on Sunday morning to finish what she had started. Now, she began that process on Friday night, which is the beginning of the Jewish Sabbath, and then it goes from 6 p.m. on Friday to 6 p.m. on Saturday. So I want to ask you a question. Can you imagine what was going on in her mind on Saturday? You know, were those spirits beginning to come back and whisper in her ear and tell her, we told you that he wasn't real. We told you that what happened to you wasn't real. We told you that he really didn't set you free and that this bondage, this freedom that you experienced was just short-lived. As a matter of fact, it really wasn't real at all. And we're back. we're back to bring you back into bondage and bring you back to that horrible place of torment and fear that you've been living in. You can imagine that's what was going on in her mind, because in her mind and in her life, everything that she had put her life in for the last 2.5 years was now dead. She witnessed it. She saw Jesus die on the cross. And again, she saw and helped prepare his body to go into that buried, borrowed tomb and be laid there. And so, you know, she's going through all of this. So she was left with a whole day to stew in everything that she had seen, everything that she had experienced, and then beginning to hear the whispers of those spirits. Well, the very next morning, Sunday morning, early, the scripture says that she goes to the tomb and she discovers. She steps into the tomb. The stone had been rolled back. She steps into the tomb and discovers that Jesus' body is not there. And so upon finding the empty tomb, she runs back to the disciples and she tells Peter and John what she had found. And so the three of them go back to the tomb, Peter and John running and Mary getting there after them. And then they verified that what Mary had said was true. And then they go back to the other disciples, but Mary remains at the tomb. Now, I want to go to John's Gospel, the 20th chapter, verses 11 through 16, and let's look at what transpired here. So again, picture in your mind, keep it fresh in your thinking, everything that Mary has gone through over the last 24 hours. So she stays at the tomb, and in verse 11 of chapter 20, it says, Mary stood outside of the tomb weeping, and as she wept, she stooped down and looked into the tomb. And she saw two angels in white sitting, one at the head and the other at the feet where the body of Jesus had lain. When they said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping?" She said to them, "Because they have taken away my Lord, and I do not know where they have laid him." Now, when she had said this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there, but she did not know that it was Jesus. Jesus said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping? Whom are you seeking?" She, supposing him to be the gardener, said to him, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have laid him, and I will take him away." And Jesus said to her, oh, and I love this, one word, Mary. Now, can you imagine all the times in the previous 2.5 years that maybe she heard him say her name, that maybe she heard him utter that name from his lips? She knew the sound of his voice. She knew the tenor and how he said it. And so when this person whom she thought was the gardener stopped and said one word, Mary, immediately she knew that it was the Lord. And it says in verse 16, Jesus said to her, "Mary," and she turned to him and said to him, "Rabboni," which is to say, teacher. So you can venture to say her weeping stopped at that point. She immediately realized and recognized that Jesus had been raised from the dead. And so she turns around and she sees that it's him. The revelation comes, and this for her changes everything. You know why? Because then it dawns on her that those tormenting spirits that she had lived with for however long, many years, we don't know, but she got the revelation that those spirits were never going to come back again, even in spite of the lies that they had been whispering to her over the previous 24 hours. But Jesus died not only for your sins and my sins, but listen, friend, he died for your freedom, and he was raised from the dead to secure that freedom and to make sure that you stay free. Because Jesus died for your sins and rose from the dead for your freedom, this changes everything. I want to tell you today, there's no bondage in your life that can keep you in bondage if you come to Jesus, the resurrected Jesus, and let him set you free. Now, I want to ask you another question. Have you ever made a promise to the Lord that you didn't keep? Maybe you were in a bind. Maybe you were under pressure and you promised the Lord and you said, Lord, if you will help me get out of this situation, I promise I will serve you or I will love you. Well, somebody else did that same thing. Many of you are familiar with the great apostle, the apostle Peter. Out of all the apostles, I probably identify with him the most. Peter was brash. He was he spoke the first thing that popped into his head. He had very few filters, if any. And, you know, Peter was an awesome man and he became an awesome man of God later. But as you know, and you probably are familiar with the story, he ended up denying Jesus three times. Now, let's look what led up to that. Matthew 26, verses 31 through 35. Jesus said to them, all of you will be made to stumble because of me this night, for it is written, I will strike the shepherd and the sheep of the flock will be scattered. But after I have been raised, I will go before you to Galilee. Now I want to make a note here that Jesus told the disciples, at least that we have record of, a half a dozen times, that he was going to Jerusalem, he was going to be crucified, he was going to die, but on the third day, he was going to be raised from the dead. And he said it right here at this moment. But you know, it went in like the promises of God and the word of God does with us sometimes, goes in one ear and right out the other. And it says, but after verse 32, I have been raised, I will go before you to Galilee. Verse 33, Peter answered and said to him, even if all are made to stumble because of you, I will never be made to stumble. And Jesus said to him, assuredly, I say to you that this night before the rooster crows, you will deny me three times. Peter said to him, even if I have to die with you, Lord, I will not deny you. And so said all the disciples. Man, what a promise. Jesus, I'll never deny you. Even if I have to die for you, I will never deny you. And guess what? In less than 24 hours, Peter found himself in a situation where he denied the Lord. And there's something that happened, and if you don't pay attention to the details, you'll gloss right over it. But after Peter had been following Jesus everywhere that Jesus was taken on the night that he was arrested, he went first to the high priest's house and then to Pontius Pilate. But as he was at the high priest's house and he was being questioned, the servant girls approached him and people approached him and he denied the Lord three times that he even knew the Lord. And the last time that he did that in Luke, the 22nd chapter in the 60 verse, the third time that he denied the Lord, it says, and the Lord turned and looked at Peter. Peter was standing across the courtyard. We don't know how far exactly, but we can imagine it was some distance, but he could still see Jesus, physically see what was going on. And the moment that he denied the Lord that third time, the scripture says Jesus turned and looked at Peter. Then Peter remembered the word of the Lord, how he had said to him, before the rooster crows, you will deny me three times. I want to ask you a question. How do you think Peter felt at that moment to know that the words that the Lord had spoken to him had come to pass, that he had indeed denied the Lord three times? And then when his eye caught Jesus' eye, oh, I can imagine the guilt and the shame that Peter felt at that moment. The embarrassment of knowing that this promise he had made the Lord, he couldn't even follow through with that promise 24 hours after he had made that promise. So again, how do you think Peter felt at that moment? He feels just like we do when we make promises to the Lord and do not keep them. So again, all of this transpired on Friday evening. And so Peter was thinking he had all day Saturday to think about this. He remembered that look that Jesus gave him in the courtyard. And that picture was haunting him to the depths of his soul. And I can imagine the tons of weight that the guilt bear upon him in that moment. And Peter witnessed also Jesus dying on the cross. And he knew that Jesus had breathed his last on that cross, that he had indeed died on the cross, and any hopes that he had of being able to make things right with his friend, his close friend, his Lord and his Master and his Savior, he knew and he saw that those times were gone forever because Jesus was now dead. He would never get to tell him how sorry he was for denying him and messing up. But thank God, Sunday came. So Peter, after Mary Magdalene comes and gives the report that Jesus is not in the tomb, his body is not there, he and John run to the tomb, and he and John both see that it's empty. And all of a sudden, this changes everything for Peter. Now, it was some time before Peter saw the Lord. A little bit later, Jesus appeared to the disciples, and Peter got to see that Jesus had indeed been raised from the dead. And a few days later after that, he was able to finally say how sorry he was to his friend whom he thought was gone forever. I want to tell you something today, friend. If you've ever made a promise to the Lord that you didn't keep, I got good news for you. The resurrection changes everything for you and for me. I want to ask you a third question today. Have you ever doubted God and His Word? Have you ever stumbled in your faith believing that God's Word would come to pass and that what Jesus said was absolutely the truth? Well, there was a disciple named Thomas that doubted what Jesus had said. And so let's look at what happened in John, the 20th chapter, in the 24th through the 29th verse. And we can imagine that the scripture doesn't specifically say it, but we can imagine that Thomas, being one of the disciples, also witnessed, albeit from a distance maybe, the death of the Lord Jesus Christ. He witnessed the horrible things that Jesus suffered on the cross, the horrible death that he had died. And now, maybe he had seen and participated in Jesus being buried. Maybe he helped carry the body to Joseph's tomb. And so what we find here is in verse 24, the disciples that had seen Jesus had come back to report to the other disciples. And John 20, verse 24, now Thomas, called the twin, one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came. Verse 25, the other disciples therefore said to him, "We have seen the Lord." And so he said to them, "Unless I see in his hands the print of the nails, and put my finger into the print of the nails, and put my hand into his side, I will not believe." Now you've got to remember, Thomas was standing there when Jesus told the disciples all those times that he was going to die on a cross, but that he would be raised from the dead. And so in verse 26, after 8 days, his disciples were again inside and Thomas with them. And Jesus came, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst and said, "Peace to you." Now, you know what? If that won't do something for your belief system, I don't know what would. But anyway, Jesus walks right through the door with the door being shut and is there with his disciples. In other words, he passed right through that solid object. And the first thing he says is, "Peace to you." And then he turns to Thomas in verse 27. And he said to Thomas, "Reach your finger here and look at my hands. Reach your hand here and put it into my side. Do not be unbelieving, but believing." And Thomas answered and said unto him, "My Lord and my God." Then Jesus said to him, "Thomas, because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed." What was Thomas thinking before he saw Jesus? Well, he had already made up his mind. He wasn't going to believe what the other disciples had told him. He was refusing to believe. Now, listen to me carefully. He was refusing to believe because he could not reconcile the words of the Lord Jesus Christ with what he had seen in the natural, visibly with his eyes, and what he could see around him. He had seen it all. He had seen that this journey that he and the other disciples had been on for 3 years was now over. That their hopes, their dreams had been crucified and hung on a cross. And as far as he was concerned, that it was all over. It was said and done, and there was nothing else that was going to be able to happen. All because he did not believe what the Lord Jesus had said. Now, what do you think Thomas was saying after he found out about the resurrection? You know, he got the report from the other disciples. I'm sure he thought to himself, yeah, well, I hope it's true, because if it is, it changes everything. And so finally, when Jesus appears to the disciples and to Thomas, Jesus confirms to him, albeit rather visibly, that he is alive, that he had been raised from the dead. And he said to him, and again, John 20, verse 29, Thomas, because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet believed. So what could Thomas come away from that experience with? He could come to the realization that he can believe, listen, he can believe God's word without having or being able to reconcile everything that God has said with everything he can see in the natural. That's what faith is really all about. Believing what God's word says. Believing that Jesus was going to be raised from the dead in spite of everything his natural senses saw and witnessed and told him was fact. No, the word of God was able to change the fact that he saw of what he saw in the natural. And now he came to the revelation. I don't have to reconcile what I see in the natural with what God's word says is true. No, I can just put my faith in what God's word says is the truth. If you've ever doubted, the good news is that because of the resurrection, this changes everything. I want to tell you today, because Jesus is alive, because he was raised from the dead on the third day, you can have victory despite of what you can see around you, what the circumstances tell you might be over and done. If God's word says it's not over, it's not over. If God's word says that you can have victory, even if in the natural, it says everything is over, it's done. Hang on to God's word. Hold fast to God's word, because I promise you, what you can see and experience in the natural can be changed by what God's word has to say to you and me. What Jesus did 2,000 years ago in his death, burial, and resurrection changes everything. Now, I want to leave something with you in a scripture. In 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 and 4, I'm going to read it to you from the New Living Translation. Then I'm going to read it to you from the Message Bible. In the New Living Translation, it says this, 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 3, all praise to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. It is by His great mercy that we have been born again. Because God raised Jesus Christ from the dead, now we live with great expectation. And we have a priceless inheritance, an inheritance that is kept in heaven for you, pure and undefiled, beyond the reach of change and decay. I got good news for you, friend. Today, you can live with great expectation. That's what hope is, a great hope and expectation, because Jesus was raised from the dead. He is alive. And because of that, it changes everything. Listen to the Message Bible of those same verses. 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 and 4. What a God we have and how fortunate we are to have him, this father of our Messiah, Jesus. Because Jesus was raised from the dead, we've been given a brand new life and have everything to live for, including a future in heaven. And the future starts now. Man, I like that. You and I have a life that we can live because Jesus was raised from the dead, a new life in him, a good life in him, an abundant life in him. Friends, and it's all because Jesus is not lying in a tomb somewhere. He is indeed alive. He's alive and he lives forevermore, the scripture says. The Bible says in the book of Revelation that he who was dead now lives and lives forevermore. Hallelujah. And so I want you to get that on the inside of you today, that because Jesus is alive, because he's been raised from the dead, it changes everything for you and for me. Now, I want to give you an opportunity to receive that new life. So stay with me, and in just a couple of moments, I want to pray for you today. You know, there is new life waiting on you on the other side of believing the fact that Jesus is alive. I want to pray with you today. If you've never given your heart to the Lord Jesus Christ and entered into a relationship with your Heavenly Father through Christ, I want to invite you to do that today. As we touched on, Jesus did all of the hard work. He paid the price. He died on the cross. He shed his precious blood, and he was dead, buried. But on the third day, as we've been talking about, he was raised from the dead. And so because of all of that he accomplished, you and I, the Bible says in Romans chapter 10, verses 9 and 10, that if you shall confess Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. For with the heart man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Really, I know that seems too good to be true, but the fact of the matter is, because of God's free gift of his grace, his mercy and forgiveness, all you and I have to do is just simply receive that, believe that in our hearts, and make him the Lord of our lives, and say that with our mouths, and you will be saved. You will be born again, and you can enter into the life, the wonderful life that Jesus has bought and paid for you to have. Would you pray with me today? Just say this simple prayer. Heavenly Father, I come to you today. I need a Savior. I'm lost. I want to be found. And so I believe with all my heart that Jesus died for me. I believe he died on the cross and was buried. But on the third day, the day we celebrate today, he was raised from the dead, and he is alive. Now, Lord Jesus, come into my heart. I make you my Lord and Savior. Wash me in your blood. Make me clean and holy. Forgive me of my sin. Forgive me of my past and give me a brand new beginning. Thank you that I'm forgiven. Thank you that I'm clean. And thank you for new life in you. Now fill me to the full and overflowing with the power of your Holy Spirit. I thank you for it and I praise you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Friend, if you prayed that prayer with me, we believe you just got born again. I want to encourage you to do a couple of things. Number one, I want you to make a note. Maybe if you have a Bible in the front of your Bible, make a note that on Easter Sunday, March 31st, 2024, you gave your heart to the Lord Jesus Christ and you were born again. Make a note of that so you can refer to it later on and always keep it in your memory. And then something else I want to ask you to do is share it with us. Let us know that you prayed that prayer with me just a few moments ago. And here's how you can do it. You can send me just a quick email at mystory@springhill.cc. The address is there for you on the screen. And just a quick email to say, I prayed the prayer with Pastor Brad and gave my heart to Jesus. Now, we're not gonna try and bombard you or overwhelm you. No, we're just wanting to celebrate with you and just pray for you and believe God with you on this journey that you've begun with your new life in Christ. And we love you. We're praying for you and we believe God on your behalf. God has such good things in store for each and every one, and we're so proud of you. But thank you for praying that prayer and believing today and entering in to a life with Jesus Christ, an abundant life. Hallelujah.
Thanks once again for tuning in to the Spring Hill Church podcast. We hope that you have been blessed by today's message. If you would like more information about the church, please feel free to visit us at springhill.cc.